Well, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 13, as I've been talking through the offertories recently about discipleship, and we've had a chance to hear from a couple of different people, but last week we went through a small part of the discipleship manual, and some of the reasons why we get into the Bible, why you would want to pursue discipleship. And clearly the desire is that we would walk more, look more like Christ as we walk. One of the elements that that I mentioned last week was servitude, that the purpose, one of the purposes of discipleship is to prepare us for servitude. And we see John, or Christ, address this in John chapter 13. And starting in verse 13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet, one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Point being is that we are to serve. This is one of the things that that the Lord calls us to do. Within any family, you have different people who play different roles, and they're going to serve differently. You have, you have fathers, you have mothers, you have children sometimes, you know, but in any blend of them, sometimes you have grandparents in the home, but you have a different blend, but all of these dynamics play out. And the question is, are we serving within that family? How are we serving in that family? How are we serving and playing out our part, our different calling within? And you see it all come together as a whole. That's the way a church family is. We see different people playing different roles in different parts, and we play the role that God has called us to do. In other words, the elbow isn't saying, "I want to be the hand," and the hand's not saying, "I want to be the head." We play the roles that based on the giftedness that God's given us. And as you see, what Jesus is saying here is, I found it interesting. He said, "If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet." Well, if he's the Lord, which he is, then we are subjects, correct? I mean, one of the biggest problems that many of us have is submitting to his lordship. He is Lord. We'll submit all day to Savior. That's the part sounds good. You know, get me out of this mess. But the Lord part is, no, I desire to walk in a manner that's pleasing to you. I desire to die daily, as Paul would say. My desire is to walk in a way that you are pleased with. And that requires us to be subject to what he's telling us to do. So if I, the Lord, and I, the teacher, well, the teacher has what? Pupils. And the teacher is directing and guiding the pupils on what to do. Well, he holds both of the primary higher positions to us, yet who is he serving? Us. So he didn't come to be served, he came to serve, correct? So if we look at discipleship, it's how do we learn, how do we learn who God is, how do we learn what it is that he's asking us to do, and how do we learn to fulfill that as we walk? If you look with me in Philippians chapter 2, and this is a chapter we go to quite a bit because it's such a solid chapter. But chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." What Paul is saying here is that it is imperative to humble yourself. If we're going to walk in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord, we must humble ourselves. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. How do you serve somebody with a willing heart if you view yourself superior to that individual? You can't do it. So back in John chapter 13 and verse 17, he says, I gave you an example that in verse 15, I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. So it's a picture of putting into practice the things that we see Jesus doing and putting it into practice with the heart that Jesus has in doing what he's doing. It brings to mind, we've talked about Asa, King Asa, recently. And, you know, it brings to mind to me a different element with King Asa. And in 2 Chronicles in chapter 14, it starts off and it says in verse 2 of 14, it says, Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. You see him preparing for battle, and you see the number of warriors that he has prepared. Yet in verse 11, he says, "Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, there is none beside you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are God. Let no man prevail against you.'" The reason I bring this in, and I know this is about a battle, but the reason I bring this in is because servitude sometimes can feel like a battle. The first thing I'll say to you is, if it's feeling like a battle, you're not walking in the Spirit. But the second thing I'll say to you is that if we ask the Lord for his power, as Asa did, recognizing I don't have it in myself to do this, then he will supply that power. Because he's looking for people that are turning to him. He's looking for people who desire to serve him selflessly. And so what we see here is Asa is coming to him and saying, "Lord, I know I can't do this." Well, if we come to him in our ministries, our individual ministries, whatever that may be, and say, "Lord, I just can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need your power with me to help me." And that's whether you're a mom or whether you're a dad or whether you're a pastor or whether you're cleaning the church. Whatever the ministry is that the Lord's called you to, is to rely on him. That's where our strength's going to come from. We've got to make sure that we don't take on ourselves and take credit for ourselves. Look at me go, look at me go. Which can happen as well. And we see Asa do that later on as we look into chapter 16. And eventually, you know, 36 years later, he begins to falter. Why? Because he stopped relying on the Lord. He lost sight of who he was and who he depended on, and he lost sight. And eventually, he comes across physical ailments, and instead of going to the Lord with his physical ailments, he's going to the doctors. And so if we ever forget who we are in Christ, if we ever forget the sacrifice that he made for us, what would motivate us to lay down our lives and in service of him, then we're going to have problems. And Asa is a perfect picture of that. So just encouragement that as we go through these days and as we look at one of the major purposes behind discipleship is to remind us who we are in Christ and that we are not Christ, we don't have the power without him, and we will fail if we don't lean on him as we're doing the things that we feel called to do. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and we thank you for the fact that you've called us to yourself. And we do thank you for the opportunities you give us to serve you. Lord, may we never feel like we have the power within ourselves of our own making to do these things. We do know that we have the power within ourselves because you are within us. Lord, may we always rely on your Spirit, and may we always desire to please you first and foremost. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.